good evening. It's good to see everybody. It is nice to be back, and as you were not aware, we will be back with you again next Sunday morning. And the reason I'm mentioning that is because the lesson I had originally prepared for tonight to bring you was actually, as I thought about it, I think it was more appropriate to talk about next Sunday morning. So come, if you will, and be ready, and if you can, study up on 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as we're talking about Sunday morning, this idea of being a member and our roles in the local church. You know, it's a bit more of an appropriate topic for Sunday morning. So tonight, going to be talking about a section out of Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, and we're going to start in verse 4. I'm talking about the parable of the sower. It should be a section that we're quite familiar with, but the section that I think tends to get focused on more often might not be the section that we should be giving quite as much attention to. This is a study that I had done with Jordan, and I thought this was really interesting and a more appropriate study, I think, for us and applying it to ourselves tonight. So we're going to start in verse 4, and we'll go through down through 15. When a large crowd was coming together, and those from the various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road. And it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and on the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into the good soil, and grew up, and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." At least for me, growing up and going to Bible classes and hearing a lot of lessons, that was the section that we focused on and talked about evangelism out of that. And while that is good, and I think that's a good point to pull out of that, I think sometimes we might be missing the mark. And I think that comes out of where Jesus explains the parable for the disciples later on. Pick up in verse 9. His disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. And he said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest, it is parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard, when the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns are those who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast, and bear fruit with perseverance. This is the part I want to focus on tonight and talk about, is this last section, the translation that Jesus gives about the parable and applying it to us, to those who are sitting here tonight. And the idea of continuing to grow spiritually. I hadn't thought about that before when this was brought to me, of thinking and applying this parable in that way to myself, of how this could affect me as I'm going around and studying and hearing the word from other people's point of view. Sometimes it is true that those beside the road are those who have heard, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart. Here's an example, roughly, is that we're sitting in a Bible class, maybe, and the man leading the study says something that I don't agree with. I just don't agree with it. I think it's wrong. Instead of going and studying it for myself, I'm just going to take that, the words he gave, and just throw it away, push it away. Saying he can't be right, I'm not going to challenge him on that. Or hearing somebody from the pulpit preaching a lesson that, you know, now really sit down and look at it, is very applicable to me. But instead of really listening to the core of what he's saying, I'm thinking, oh, I know who this is. This is a good lesson for this so-and-so over here. They could really use this lesson. This is good, but it's not really applicable to me. That is that the soil that's being so firmed down that we can't hear. We're not letting the word come into our heart. So that's what Jesus said the word is. This seed in the parable is the word of God. And every time that we hear the seed being spread, in this case and in Bible class, that's the word being brought to us. Sometimes our hearts can get so hard or so firm in a thought and belief. We've known since a young child that it has to be this way, that this parable, this story means this. This character acted in this such a way. It's become so firm in our belief and maybe even in our traditions that it just can't be anything different. So I'm just going to ignore what's being said. That is Satan coming down and plucking away what could be truth in our life that we didn't think about or hadn't thought about before and just letting it go. Eating it away before it can really take root into our hearts and into our lives. It's a dangerous place to be when we feel so confident in our knowledge and understanding that we're not willing to accept anything new. It's a very dangerous place to be. The second soil that's listed here says those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, they receive the word with joy. And these have no firm root, for they believe for a while, and in times of temptation fall away. This is that heart that has heard it, thinks and recognizes, okay, I need to make a change, and they are excited about that change. Yay! But as soon as a trial comes up or something difficult comes in their life that's challenging to that thought or challenges them to their past belief, they immediately backtrack and say, okay, maybe I was still wrong. I need to study a little bit more on this. And they never come back to it. Where as the sun is beating down, the trials of life are beating down, it has that light root that has begun to find itself and ingrain itself is now withered away and torn away. We all know people who are like that. We've probably lived that ourselves, of hearing a joyful thing like that and finding it just withered and taken away. The third soil that's given here, a seed, the word which fell among thorns. These are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with the worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. Another really dangerous heart that sits and sees. I've heard it. I'm accepting it. I go and I'm going to live this out, but then the world comes in and brings the old temptations back. I like what one of the things that Ricky has told me before about at least the idea of social drinking. Has talked and said, well, it's not a good idea to do this, yes, but you can't really evangelize well from a bar, can you? If you're in there, it's tough. Your influence is going to be compromised because you're putting yourself, if you suffer with that issue at least of drinking, you're going to be tempting yourself, putting yourself into situations and places that just aren't meant to be. The thorns of the world will come up and choke you in this. But I want to turn over to another, or at least another parable and thought. Is of Jesus and the fig tree. And I'm trying to remember where that's at right now, but the parable at least, though the story goes there, is Jesus is heading into Jerusalem and he sees a fig tree along the road. And what's special about this fig tree is that it looks like it's ready to have figs on it. The leaves have the right shape. The stems have the right color. It looks like it is time to have figs. So Jesus sees it and says, I'm going to go get me a fig. And as he goes over, he sees the tree is, while it looks ready to be harvested and looks ready to produce, there's nothing on it. And he curses the fig tree and tells it it will never bear fruit again. And it's a curious story to think of Jesus doing that. Why? Because it brings a lesson later on. Because a few days later, the apostles and Jesus are passing by it again and they see the same fig tree and now it is dead. It's died. It's not serving any use anymore. I think that fits really well to what he is saying here in this parable. Is there's a tree. Imagine us as this tree. We look like we're ready to produce fruit. We have all the signs and characteristics. We've gone through the right paths. We may be followed, as we'll call them, the steps of salvation to get to where we need to be. And I hate that term. I hate that idea of the steps of salvation, because to me, when I say that or someone says it, thinks it's a one-time and done deal. But it's really not. We hear the Word. That's a constant thing. We're hearing the Word all the time. We need to be constantly believing and knowing that's not a one-time and done deal. Repent. We repent to one another. We're supposed to be repenting to one another. We repent to God. That's a constant going thing. The only thing I think is that we call it a one-time done is the baptism. You're baptized once. But then we're remaining faithful. These are all constant steps and things that we're going through. I like to think of that more as a path. As we're walking towards the cross, and when we hit the cross and we continue on to heaven, it's a pathway there. And that's really what's happening here. Jesus is saying that these people, these individuals who let the thorns of the world come up and choke them out, they look the part. They act the part. They've done all the good things that should be done. But yet now they've become compromised. And the good word that should be in their heart, as they sit and listen, as they study on their own, it's taken away from them and choked out. Because they're letting the world come in and steal it away from them. But lastly is this. It said, but the seed and the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast, and bear fruit with perseverance. These are the individuals that take the word, take the seed, and they plant it in their heart, even if it's something that's challenging to them, something that makes them struggle and cause them to really think about what's being said, or maybe the direction their life has been going in. And they take it and they nurture it. They go and study it for themselves and make sure that what's being said is true. And the conclusions that they've either come to before or are coming to now are right and honest. When I hear that about that seed, it actually reminds me of my grandfather. And his conversion story is rather interesting. As he would tell me, he was born and raised a Methodist. When it meant something to be a Methodist. And he was proud of that through almost all of his life. And when he married my grandmother, he was not a Christian. He was still that proud, staunch Methodist, even though she was going to church. And he would not go with her. And they had a couple of kids, and it was not until my Aunt Janet, who's the oldest, she was about 9 at that time, and he remembers hearing her ask Grandma in another room, "Mama, why doesn't Dad come to church with us? Why doesn't Daddy come? I want him to come to church with us." So my grandpa decided, all right, next Sunday I'll go to church with them, and I'll try to start placing a good example for my daughter. And that first service that he was there, he never told me what the preacher said, but the preacher said something from the pulpit, and he did not agree whatsoever with it. And he said, "No, that can't be right. What he said just can't be right. You know what? I'm going to prove him wrong." So he went home, and he opened up his Bible, which he had studied plenty of times before, but he opened up his Bible and really took another look at that passage of what was being said. And after he was done reading, he read it again. And he read it a third time. And he said he sat back in his chair in shock. Because everything he had thought about his whole life, that point, something that was almost root to his beliefs, was torn asunder. Because what that preacher said was right. And the Bible said there was true. And that following Sunday, Richard King went forward to be baptized because he knew he wasn't living as the Bible said he was, and he should be, and he became a Christian. It was powerful to me to hear that story because of the influence he had been my whole life, of hearing how strong of Christian he was, and the example of being an elder for so long in so many places. I had just assumed he was raised in the church, and he raised such godly children and helped to nurture godly grandchildren. But hearing that story just kind of shook me to the core. Because I was seeing this fourth seed in this fourth soil that was being used there. One that was nurtured the Word of God, put into soil that was could have been initially rocky, hard, full of thorns and thistles. But he began to clear all those things out and using and working with God made it to where that soil was full of nutrients and ready to grow and produce many, many more crops to come and go. The Bible is its best commentary. And the parable that Jesus spoke to the apostles really isn't hard to understand. But they came and were confused, and so many others were confused because they just didn't get it. When you go back to verse 10, he said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it's parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." There are those who are going to hear the word. They're going to see it enacting in our lives and in the world around them. But yet they're going to put on blinders and they're going to walk around saying, I can't accept it. I just can't accept what's being told, what I'm hearing. They'll put plugs in their ears. You know, little children do. They'll hear something. La, 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 la. They don't want to hear it, so they don't understand it. So they can continue to walk and live their life how they wish, how they think the Bible is interpreted without actually sitting down and studying it for themselves. To really see what the Word says. But he makes some more comments after he finishes the explanation of the parable. The story is not over. In verse 16 it says, "Now no one after lighting a lamp covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not become known and come to light. So take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him." Again, we're seeing those same hearts that he talked about in the soil right there. A light that needs to be put out. That's that strong seed, that strong heart, so that the world can see. And he says, take care how you listen. Go back to what he said earlier in the end of the parable, end of verse 8. He calls out between all these, "He who has an ear, let him hear." He's saying, listen, because what I'm saying here is important. It is important to what's being said. It is important to you being saved. Take care how you listen. Because when we put our fingers in our ears and choose to ignore what's being taught because I know it's being said. I know it better than what you're teaching it. And not really letting it come in and re-impregnate our lives. To let us think and meditate and focus on what's being said. If we don't take care in how we listen, we've effectively just blown the light out. And we've made the candle useless. Because we don't really know everything, do we? There's always new times to learn. And that's one thing I've been really impressed with studies with Ricky, is sometimes I'll bring a question to him where I thought. And he'll come back and say, "You know what, Ryan? I've never thought about that before. Never thought of that." And he's got 40 plus years on me of studying and knowing the Scriptures. And sometimes he says, I bring something new to the table for him. And he does that all the time for me. New things I hadn't thought about before. Make sure we're coming to the table with a humble heart. And he gives one more important commentary here at the very end. Verse 19, "And his mother and his brothers came to him, and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. And it was reported to him, 'Your mother and your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you.'" Jesus had a responsibility. He is the firstborn. He is the eldest of his family. He had responsibilities to his mother, responsibilities to helping his brothers, to raise them. He was, when his father was out of the picture or gone, he is head of the house. He is head of the family. Jesus had many responsibilities here, and yet look at what he says in verse 21. "But he answered and said to them, 'My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and who do it. Those who take the seed and plant it in their hearts and nurture it correctly through study, through prayer, through a correct and right relationship with God, who tend that soil well so that the crops may be producing 100 times over and over again. These are who have a relationship with God. These are who Jesus calls my mother, my brother, my sisters, my family. Those are the ones who are most important to Jesus, who He's going to take the time to go talk to and share with. Those are the ones who are coming and asking the questions, as the disciples did, to understand what's being said so they can have a better knowledge of what the Son of God is trying to clearly tell us. The parable of the sower has been used in so many ways, but sometimes I think it's good to take a moment to pause, I think, and reflect back upon ourselves. Is my heart the one that's willing to accept something new? Or is it one of the other two that's going to, once it's put in, just push it away and let it die? Or let the world come in and choke it out? I don't want that for any of us. I don't think any of us want that for each other. To see the world, the word, choked out. But to sit down and study things correctly and thoughtfully and help each other grow closer to our Lord. Thank you for listening. If you need to be saved or to be brought back into the family, now for this chance now as we stand and as we sing.